Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to KingScottRadioTV.com. Let's take a walk in the garden. This is Pastor Kevin T. Scott, and today we're going to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the way church is done these days, it's different from past decades. Centuries, for that matter. But we want to articulate the word of God here at my Father's table. Here in the 21st century, people follow God because you have to check, ladies and gentlemen, through different means now. It used to be that you had your Bible with you and it had all 66 books in it, the Old and the New Testament. Now it's all compact on your cell phone or your mini computer. Some kind of way you can follow the Word of God individually. And today, I want to encourage you to go to the book of Galatians. Now, Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul. And specifically, we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Now, just to cover a little background on Paul, Paul was one of the 13 apostles. Because of Judas and his betrayal, Paul stepped in and really wrote a good percentage of the Bible. So Paul is an important piece. And right there, I'm going to say to you that God can use anyone, anybody, anywhere, anytime. I need you to understand that because Paul once persecuted Christians. He was a killer of Christians, and God changed his heart. Only a magnificent, mighty God can do things like that. So, you know, people can start off in not such a great way and end up showing the glory of God within them. That means that we have to give them an opportunity. We have to calm our spirits because the flesh is weak and the spirit is willing to understand the move of God. And God certainly moved in Paul's life. So I need a few of you Bible readers to turn with me to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And that's going to give you a description of what the fruits of the spirits are. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit. And when you want to call yourself a Christian human being, these 9 fruits of the Spirit should play a major role in your life. That's your attitude, your behaviors, your opinions. It should dominate who you are as a Christian person. See, you can't stand in the pulpit and try or make a strong attempt to tell someone how to live and you're living in a foul way yourself. That's not to say that people should be perfect, because we can't be. That conflict between the flesh and the spirit is an awesome challenge, and it comes to you every day of the week, every moment of the day. You know, sometimes people say, oh, you're wrapped up in your feelings. Well, the fruits of the Spirit helps guide you to where you should be. Now, we're talking about your attitude, how you treat people. And the Bible says, love ye one another as I have loved you. And that means that we are supposed to treat each other with a level of dignity, respect, whether we agree or disagree. Does somebody know what I'm talking about? You see, you can't be the Christian person that's around in the church or any gathering place wanting to cuss people out. give them a piece of your mind. Show so much emotional recklessness that you begin to hurt the very fabric of what Christianity is about. We are all representatives of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, every last one of us. Now, there are different ways to approach this. You choose your way. For me, here at this time in my life, as a pastor, I want to choose the best way that I feel is possible. I want to be a good Christian person. I want to have a good nature. And in order to do that, you have to be able to understand what is your nature supposed to stand for. Do I have a few witnesses here this morning? See, church has come to be some kind of entertainment society where you go to hear these great oratorical abilities and you want to show off your talents. Well, this isn't about talent. This is about the Word of God, how we are supposed to live as Christian human beings. And the fruits of the Spirit gives you a strong description of what your attitude and your behaviors are supposed to be about. I just need two or three of you all to raise your hands and say amen. Because see, we have to get on one accord with one another. You can't be the church gossiper and want to call yourself a loving Christian human being. You can't be a liar and a deceitful person and want to call yourself a Christian human being. Not that these things don't happen in your life. You should not be a selfish human being trying to be a good Christian in your life. And Paul was writing about this in Galatians. Now, we're going to go over some of the fruits of the Spirit because we don't have the time to go into all of it. It's going to take time. The Word of God takes time, ladies and gentlemen. It simply takes time. And we're going to go over a few of these. And I think we're going to do this over the next probably 2 or 3 weeks because there are 9 fruits of the Spirit. And we want to touch on all of them. But we're not going to try to rush the theory. We're not going to try to rush through the words of God that guides our life. Our lives are important. How we treat one another is very important. And that's the whole existence and being of living a Christian life. Now, let me take a moment and give you a little bit more of a description of Paul. Paul was writing to the Galatians in support of his church. You see, the church was being persecuted by Jewish Christians. And Paul was trying to give them a guide as to how they are supposed to be. Just like your pastor, your leadership in the church should be offering you a guide, an example of who you're supposed to be in Christ Jesus. See, you can't come up in the church and want to be buck wild. You want to follow your emotions. That's not the fruits of the Spirit. Now, we're going to get into specifically what they are in a moment. But I'm telling you, there is a certain way that you are supposed to conduct yourself. And if you're not doing that, you're not fit to be of service. See, we all can get better, but there are some standards that we have to have. You bring that to the table. And when you're sitting at the table and you want to be the loud mouth, you want to be the person that cuts people off, You want them to listen to you, but you don't want to listen to anyone. You want to get up in front of people and give them a show. And this is not about show. See, when you squeeze all of this down, my beloved, you're talking about dealing with eternity, where your soul is going to be for the rest of the existence of your life. This is only a part of it. This is only a brief synopsis of who you're going to be long term. And that's why the Bible tells you to study. I don't mean just to open up the book and read a couple of passages and you're done. No, you articulate the word of God, because if you have an audience, people are listening to you, even though they have to check for themselves, because you could be lying. You could be giving false hope. You have these prosperity ministries where they say, ask and you can receive. This is true. But this is not your final resting place. The things that you have here on earth is not the things that you're going to have in heaven. I'm not suggesting to anyone that you should not have a nice home. If you can afford it, great. To have a nice car, if you can afford it, terrific. To have nice garments to wear, that's okay. But that can't be the main focus of your ministry or anyone else's. And when we begin to follow ministries for the sake of getting something, you're in the wrong place. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost is not about that. He wants purity in your soul. He wants to know that we're going to treat each other with love, respect, honor, even though we may disagree. These are supposed to be your attributes as a Christian human being. My beloved, don't play games with your eternity. Because when you do that, you're at jeopardy for landing yourself straight into hell. Because hell is the adversary. Hell is the place where you can get up there and do cartwheels knowing that you're deceiving people. It's God's job to manage your life. And using the fruits of the Spirit as a guide, he can ensure that once you begin to understand what his mission is, not your own, not to have the biggest church, not to have all of the trinkets that go with it. Everyone is anointed in some kind of way. That anointing should be shared amongst one another. Am I talking to a few of the Bible readers who are reading the word, who understand what the mission is? And ultimately, the mission is eternity. And once we get out of this fanfare, this flash and dash, this milking people for all their worth, they would rather you give to the church, and the church does need support, versus having food on your table. See, racism and separatism, all that stuff started in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. If you read your word, it's in there. That jealousy that you're not supposed to have, that envy that you equipped with, that you're using to hurt, harm, and destroy people. That's why we have the fruits of the Spirit. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm letting you know that those fruits of the Spirit, those 9 attitudes that you're supposed to focus your life on are essential to your existence long term. You see, you can hold your breath a day. You can hold it for maybe a month. But what you are comes out. If you're a hothead, a person that doesn't want to listen, doesn't want to get along, just want to create havoc, your just rewards are coming. Am I reaching someone this morning? No, I'm not going to flip and turn and twist and pitch rocks and beat people up. I want to show you through the Word of God that having the fruits of the Spirit is the best way to go towards your own eternity. That is the time when a selfishness should come about. I was talking to a particular bishop, and he wants everyone to listen to him. Oh, he proclaims he's a man of God. But when it comes time for him to be interested in someone else's vision, to be interested in someone else's way of life towards Christianity, to be a team player, he falls far short because he only wants to push his agenda. We all have the same agenda, representing Christ Jesus. That's the mission. And in that mission, your eternity is wrapped up. I'm talking about the fruits of the Spirit, how we are supposed to act amongst one another. I mean, you can't excuse poor behavior. You can't say, well, he's going to give a person or she is going to give a person a piece of their mind. You've given away so many pieces that you're going to end up with absolutely nothing. That is what we are supposed to be doing, sharing each other's lives, caring for each other's well-being. See, I want you in heaven with me for however that description is. I don't know it all. I can't stand here and tell you that it's going to be this, that, and the other. I can only go by the instructions that I was given, the basic instructions before leaving Earth. I have something to go by, a guide. And having the fruits of the Spirit is a major part of where I'm going to end up. And you too. Read it for yourself. Do not believe Pastor Kevin T. Scott. Go check for yourself. Your Bible tells you about Galatians. It tells you about Paul. It gives everyone an autonomy of who they're supposed to be. Read it for yourself. Because the Bible says you can't trust man or woman because of that influence that the flesh has. And when you realize that, you can look at a person and say, well, that person's out of character. This is what they're supposed to be. Not to stand up in church begging all the time. You're supposed to be in charge of giving the word, and everything else will take care of itself. God is faithful. It's man and woman that you're going to have issues with. When you raise that son of yours, when you raise that daughter of yours to think that it's about them versus the word, or about someone who they can represent, they use these words, legacy. The only legacy that you need to follow is through Christ Jesus. It's not through man or woman. If you can carry on a tradition with the fruits of the Spirit, well, yes, that's why we're here. But when you get to the point where your attitude is just as bad as the other heathens that are out here, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. And anyone that supports it and follows you is going to bust hell wide open with you. Yes, I'm on somebody's toe. Because this has gotten to be a show. You have people asking for Lear jets so that they can travel across country to preach the word of God. Well, we're in a new day and time, ladies and gentlemen. It's not what it used to be. You talk about the Old Testament and the early New Testament. You're talking about doing some serious traveling. You're talking about walking. Yes. And now that we've grown up a little bit, now that we've gotten some oratorical ability, now we're starting to straight out con people out of what? Their money. The root is their money. You want them to support your dreams and your ambitions. Well, you too have to support theirs. It's a team effort. Ladies and gentlemen, some of this stuff we can't even track anymore. The exact locations where Paul was is somewhat of a mystery now because it's been so long. You can't track all of the things that he was designed to do. You can only go on hearsay. And we have to begin to understand that all this has a beginning and it has an ending. And in between those two, you have to find your way. So I promised you that we was going to talk about the first, we have 9 attitudes of the fruits of the Spirit. And I just want to cover the first 3 today. The first 3 of the fruits of the Spirit is love, peace, and joy. Love. Love ye one another as I have loved you. The peace of mind that we all seek, and the joy in our smile and our concern for one another. But let's just stick with love for a moment. You see, if you love me, you won't stab me in the back because you can't have your way. If that's the case, we all are lost. Because then we're wrapped up into our emotions. I'm going to get that sucker. I'm going to let them know. I'm going to harass them. I'm going to do things to them that is certainly ungodly. Those things that you portray within the context of love has a place in your life. You, mama can't tell you that it's excusable because it isn't. You don't answer to mama. You answer to God. Did you feel me? And when God looks at your spiritual videotape, he has the exact things that you did. See, we're one of the few species that has freedom of choice. So you don't get to go buck wild because of something you don't like. You don't get to come into church or into an environment where you're trying to learn about God and be crazy and be so sensitive and try to point people out. Because we, the body of Christ, can point you out. None of us are going to be perfect. But it starts with love. And if you love the way Christ has loved us, you won't act that way. So it can't be excused away. You can't say, well, it's just immaturity. No, it's your way of life. When you raise a child from a childhood to an adultship, and they come out like this, you made a few mistakes. Parenting is not the easiest thing in the world. God knows that, because we got some things going on that is just unbelievable. But yet they're happening because you chose to spoil a child to a point where they're no earthly good. Their humanity is wrapped within themselves. See, I'm not your boss. I'm not your supervisor. I'm a person that is has an understanding of the Word of God, and I'm trying to articulate it to you. That's why Paul was writing the letter to the Galatians, because there was so much confusion going on. But it's not really confusion. It's you choosing to do what you think you want to do, not what the Bible says to do. That jealousy that you have, that envy that you have, that nasty attitude. I am shocked, ladies and gentlemen, that I look at some of the pastors in our communities. And it appears to me, and I'm just looking at it for what I see. Where are these people coming from? Why are you so negative? Why are you so demanding that you should do this and do that? And then when we check your closet, it's filthy. We have some prominent pastors, leaders in the church, that we're finding things out about. And information travels at the speed of light now. People who we once respected, when we took a look inside that closet, it was a bunch of mess in there. How can you be a pastor and then turn around and be bisexual? Explain that to me, because I don't quite get it. In Romans, it talks about this particular attitude. How can you do that? Oh, you sound good. Don't get me wrong. You can motivate people to want to stand up and clap, but that's the show. And we're not here for show. We're here for substance. I know some pastors, they have the first man. And people actually go into that church. The Bible talks about these things. It's not Pastor Scott that says this. This is the Word of God. It's not my misinterpretation. I'm interpreting what I'm reading. So I can't support that. I'm not going to go to hell for you or anybody else. Just trying to keep my own life together is a 24-hour job. Trying to make sure that I treat you the way that I'm supposed to, so that I can get to that afterlife. Your sexual preferences matters. It matters, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know why we're missing it. So when we talk about love, I'm not supposed to love anything. It is supposed to have a certain description, a certain autonomy. And it can't be swept under the rug. If you have a nasty attitude and you're argumentative, who are you? You want to identify yourself as a Christian? Some stuff has just gotten outdated. You see, and when you're talking about being a husband, guiding and leading your family, it can't be what your description is. It's not all about the money for you gold diggers out there, male and female. It's not the gleam in your eye and the smile on your face. It's the substance in your soul. You can't excuse poor behavior and say that they're just this or that. It's the word of God. It's the fruits of the Spirit. And when you are creating havoc inside of a autonomy of goodwill, because that's what we represent, then there's something wrong with you. And you have an opportunity to get yourself together. Get into the Word of God. So when we're talking about love, it's not about the fancy car you drive, though it's okay to have a nice car. It's not talking about all the trinkets and charms of the world, because you can't take none of it with you. Am I telling the truth? You come in with nothing and you leave with nothing. What you leave with is your spirit. That's intact. So let's get out of this, I gotta have the best of everything, and he or she is supposed to be a great provider. You work together for the common good of mankind and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not for your own selfishness. That's where we're getting it wrong, ladies and gentlemen. That's not love. Sure, you're supposed to look good in your suit. But your suit does not go with your soul. Your soul goes with your soul. Now, we all have room for improvement. God knows that. But some of this stuff that's going on is beyond my comprehension. I'm looking at pastors and bishops and prophetesses and all these titles of people, and we are forgetting one thing, how we are supposed to treat one another. That's the love that's supposed to be wrapped up in there. You're supposed to be responsible, or we're supposed to be responsible for one another. Let's move away from this, I gotta have the best of everything, because you can't take it with you. That's not to say you shouldn't live good. That's not to say that you can't lend a hand to someone else. That doesn't say that we can't play on the same team. It's not your decision. It comes from Christ Jesus. So when we start with love, oh, and you're going to turn it over because this person was that person and that person was this person. No, we follow God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, not man or woman. And I've said this to you before. Check for yourself. Don't believe Pastor Kevin T. Scott, because I could be lying to you. Get in that book for yourself. Make some quiet time where you can read so you can follow the right person, not the inner being that's going to bust hell wide open because of what you did. And you can't go back and change it once it's done. You can only move forward. And if it means that you have to change some of your ways, start with love. I can do better than that. And so, when we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, we need to get back to the basics, ladies and gentlemen. It's okay if you have 15,000 members following you. That's all right. If you're guiding in the right way and you follow in Christ Jesus, that's fine. But we've lost sight of what we're supposed to be doing. The pastor needs an armed guard beside him. I can understand the wickedness because people are wicked. But some of this has gotten to be out of control. You're more interested in your persona than the word of God. That's where you have it twisted. That's why it's going to take some time to go through the fruits of the Spirit. Because you're supposed to bring that to the table. That's not to say you're going to get along with everyone, but it's the way that you do it, how you are. You can't lead and say, well, you know, I'm going to excuse myself. No, that spiritual videotape is going to follow you and is constantly filming you. And when you and Christ Jesus get hooked up together to watch that tape, there's no second chances after that. The Bible does say that we all fall short, but we're supposed to be getting better. I heard this young guy say, we need to stay away from one another. They have this little clique inside of our churches. You got the insiders and you got the outsiders. What kind of attitude is that? And you're going to lead someone. You're leading them into hell. And don't think your dirt is not going to come out. My dirt is going to come out too. I have to ask for forgiveness too. I mean, in my years here, I've learned so much. And I'm glad that I can still learn. Every day, I want to be better. That's what matters to me. Not your opinion. Because your opinion is not going to land me in eternity. It's going to be what God said. And I could give a rat's butt about yours. Because I'm going to get there. I'm going to strive to stay alive in Christ Jesus. So ladies and gentlemen, let's begin to get this right. You're going to hear this. This message is going to get out. And if it means that you might have to change your leadership, because you should not be going to hell following someone that's hellish. You should not be. And that would be your fault. That Bible is there. Stop being lazy and get it together. I ran into this young lady last week. And she has four girls. And I was just amazed at how well those girls' hair looked. I mean, I was like, wow, you do a lot of hair. But those girls' hair was together because she took the time to be a mother to her children. Now, I don't know what her husband is doing. I didn't get that far. But I appreciated her for doing what she's doing. And she has these little girls looking so beautiful. I have this colleague that comes into the studio. And every time I see his little daughter, she's in piano lessons right now. Every time I see her, I just look at the parenting that he and his wife are doing. And I can tell him that. And when she comes in, I make a fuss over her. Hey, baby, here, you can do this. You can do, here's a coloring book. And we're supposed to nurture that. That's the fruits of the Spirit. That's the love. You can appreciate someone else. Not just your selfish self. It's not all about you. So we're going to take our time to get through the non-fruits of the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen. I can't do it in all one segment. But we're going to talk about this because some kind of way you have to get it right or else I don't want to see you in hell because I won't be there. I'm going to do all that I can so that we can be where Christ Jesus is. Not sitting on the side of the road saying I blew it. I'm going to help you. And I need you to help me. No, I don't need your money. I don't need your tithe. I don't need your offering. God has made it such that I can do this and pay for it. Pay it forward. I'm not hung up on how many times the basket has to go around. I don't want to con you out of your money. And knowing that you're trying to get your stipend. I don't want it to be about that. This you can get free. Salvation is free. But then they turn around in the same voice and say, well, we got to put the lights on. I'll pay for the lights. I'll pay the cost. And I don't want to be the boss. I want to follow Jesus. That's what I want to do. It's okay to have a nice church. It's okay to have programs and things like that. But when it comes down to you hoarding the money, that's your focus. You have these pastors who are out here living large. And it's nothing wrong with that per se. But how'd you get there? Are you the pimp in the pulpit, male or female? Because they both come the same way. I know this lady. And she calls herself a prophetess. And when I examine her style, because it's okay to examine someone's style, she was put over certain ministries. And when I checked to see the progress made in the ministries, she wasn't showing up. Who was guiding the ship? If you have this intimate knowledge, you're supposed to be a prophetess, but you're not there. Oh, I had to work and I got this and I got that. Then you should not be in that position because you're not being of service. And that's what we're here for. When they talk about the love, oh, you're going to hear a lot of sermons this Sunday morning. And out of all the sermons you're going to hear, only maybe 2 or 3% of them is trying to lead you to the promised land of Christ in your eternity. Not trying to pimp you for your money. Take the focus off of that. God will provide. That's not to say that you should not receive anything. But that shouldn't be your focus. Because if it is, you got it twisted. Love ye one another as I have loved you. Jesus took some fish and fed everybody. He wasn't selling fish dinners. He didn't have the coleslaw on the side for $12.50. He gave it away. That's the example that we should be following. Well, you know, Pastor Scott, you got it all messed up. No, I read the Bible for myself. I can empathize with you needing funds to help the church grow. But that's not what I'm seeing, ladies and gentlemen. I'm seeing a selfishness. I'm seeing the weak flesh. And that's leading the way. I'm seeing how you treat people. And as I look at it, it's wrong. So when we are into these fruits of the Spirit, it's a guide as to how you're supposed to live as a Christian human being. That's not to say you're not going to make mistakes. But you can't keep making the same mistakes. I know people are wicked. But we're supposed to be trying to help them, not condemn them. And so I want my sermons, my teachings to go forward in such a way that it represents Christ Jesus. Not my own selfish agenda. And when that time comes, when I need something from God, I simply will ask him and he will make a way. That's dealing with the faith. Do you feel me? This is one of my longer sermons. I don't normally preach this long because I don't want to beat you over the head. I want to reason with you, saying that Christ Jesus' way is the right way. So I'm going to put a pin in it. We just covered one, love. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some joy. Because we need it. We need some joy. I'm tired of seeing it. I'm tired of seeing it the way that it is. As a matter of fact, I'm sick of it, and I am going to do something about it. I'm going to try my best through Christ Jesus. And as he leads me, I will tell you, and you either can follow or not follow. But I'm not following no more of these. I mean, I like good preaching just like anyone. I want it to be reasonable and beneficiary to humanity. And to see some of the church leaders that I've been looking at that's in the news. And I know I can't believe everything the news say. So I check for myself. And I'm asking you to do the same. Check for yourself, as you listening to the sermons that I'm producing through the platform that I'm using, check. And if I'm wrong, you call me. You can reach me at 240-522-4257. If I'm doing something wrong, I'm willing to listen. And then I can let God tell me, is this right or is this wrong? But I'm not going to hell with some of you pastors and bishops and apostles. No, I won't go with you. And I don't care what you think, because you don't have a heaven or hell for me. Christ Jesus does. So I'll follow him. And if I'm wrong, then I'm done. I don't want to see this anymore. We need to get our acts together. Stop hating. We've turned into a bunch of heathens. And it's time for it to stop. Somebody has the right word. And we all can learn. It's not about how well your oratorical skills are. It's about, are you leading us the right way through Christ Jesus, not yourself? So for you young preachers, go to school, learn the foundation. Stop faking and begging. And for you old preachers, stop begging. It's gotten to be cynical. And it's time for it to stop. You can reach me here at my Father's table. And I will talk with you. I'm not so big that I don't have time. I have time. I'll make time. Because I want to get this right. And I don't want to just talk it. I want to walk it. So as my voice reaches all over the world, because this is an internet radio station and TV station, we can get anywhere. There's that connection. And you can hear this for yourself. We're in Alaska. We're in Ghana. The Word of God. And I'm not asking you for a thin dime. That's not to say that you can't help. We all need help. But this, the pastor got all of this wealth and he can't take it with him. It doesn't work that way. So stop faking. You young preachers, stop bullying. You don't beat people with the Bible. You show them how to get through the Bible to represent Christ Jesus. It's not a show. It's the reality. This has been another sermon by Pastor Kevin T. Scott from At My Father's Table. God loves you. God wants you. And we all need one another. Amen, amen, and amen.